Did you know that St. Luke's University Health Network, based in the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, has been recognized by the U.S. government as the highest performing health system in the United States for quality? You heard right. St. Luke's number one recognition affirms our status as the top leader among the most respected healthcare providers in the nation, including Houston Methodist and the Mayo Clinic. To state it simply, if you want to receive the best care when you go to a hospital, come to St. Luke's.
It's the Joe Concha Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show. Now, here's Joe Concha.
Welcome, everybody, on this Sunday morning live from a basement somewhere in New Jersey. Thanks so much for tuning in today. As usual, our rundown is stacked with stuff to talk about, and I'm already wired because my kid had a game at 8 a.m., 12-year-old soccer. It felt like it was 14 degrees out. An 8 a.m. away game means you got to get up at like 6 after you're at a St. Patrick's Day party the night before. Oof. So we're on our third cup of coffee, and you will be the beneficiary of that, plus some Red Bull and some Pixie Sticks. We are jacked up here, no question about it. Anyway, let's go to cut number 21 because, MS, whatever it is called now, we'll just keep calling it MSNBC because it will forever be that train wreck of a station. Now, apparently, President Trump has attacked Iran because he's racist, and the attack on Iran is racist because everything is racist over at MSNBC. Cut number 21, go.
Really disturbing in the messaging around the war recently, and Eamon, I really want your thoughts on this in particular, is some of the language and the description of their opponent. Sort of the way they seem to create this image of the Iranians and all of their sort of proxies or allies, the sort of imagery that they conjure up. And I think that it takes a certain amount of arrogance, and I'm also going to say it, a bit of racism, to constantly talk about people like they are savages. That is a word that we have heard Hegseth use.
Hegseth, the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, referring to the fact that, I don't know, Hamas went into Israel on October 7th, 2023, and carried out the worst massacre of Jews that we've seen since the Holocaust. That included some of the most ways to horrifically to kill people, rape them, kidnap them, keep them for, in some cases, more than 2 years. That's savage. That is what savages do. Iran killing more than 1,000 U.S. military members, primarily with IEDs. So I'm not even talking about the ones who have been maimed, who have lost legs and arms. That's what savages do. And this moron on MSNBC has to have a big, big problem with, you know, the way that we're picking on Iran and the way we're characterizing them is, dare I say it, racist. You people, this is why. Say it once, I'll say it again. Gas station sushi is more trusted than our media these days. When you get hot takes like this, and not on some like left-wing blog, you know, national television, that's the conclusion that idiot came to. Anyway, it almost as bad on SNL. You want to talk about like one of the worst imitations of a president? I mean, I thought Alec Baldwin as Trump wasn't very good, but compared to this, it's not even close. Not even close. And this was last night on SNL, and I don't even understand the joke on top of it. I mean, if you're going to be a bad Trump, but at least tell good jokes, all right, we're 1-for-2. Here, 0-for-2, no question, the new SNL. This is not Dana Carvey doing George H.W. Bush or Daryl Hammond doing Bill Clinton, that's certainly for sure. Cut number 20, go.
But we will win this war because Iran is old and nobody likes him. Iran is like ballet and opera, and we're Timmy Chalamet. Kicking them while they're down, Timmy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. Should I know who Timmy Chalamet is? I don't. And the crowd kind of groaned. I used to get the jokes on there. Maybe I'm getting older, but yeah, please bring back Eddie Murphy. Bring back Piscopo. Bring back Sandler, Farley, Farrell. And I understand the early years, Chevy Chase. Imagine that cast. Chevy Chase, John Belushi, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd. Gildan Radner, I'm scratching the surface. I mean, boy. And Murray's still great. I saw an interview he did recently that we will play for you tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern time for Concha at Night. Anyway, let's keep going because the hot takes just keep on coming when it comes to Iran. Of course, we got to hear from the Pope of late night. That is the insufferable Jimmy Kimmel on ABC. He thinks that Trump, you know what, deep down, because Jimmy really knows war. You know, this guy is somebody that when you want to hear war analysis, this is where you turn. Again, zero comedic element here. We'll never get Carson and Kimmel mixed up. That's certainly for sure. Here's cut number two, where Kimmel's actually making the argument that Trump wants Iran to bomb the United States. Wow. Of course he does. Cut number two. Go.
We can't handle a drone strike. We barely survived the writer's strike here. Okay. And I hope these Iranians realize Donald Trump wants you to bomb us. For him, that would be a win-win. He might even bomb us himself and blame it on you. Okay?
Who's laughing at that? Who would actually say, you know what, let's go see Jimmy Kimmel tonight? And it's the same thing as watching, you know, CNN and MSNBC, except, I guess, I don't know. No, there is no difference. Who are we kidding? Yeah, Trump wants Iran to bomb the U.S., or he'll bomb us himself. And then people laugh like, that's right. Again, do not get it whatsoever. Meanwhile, our cut of the week goes to Whoopi Goldberg over at, ABC as well. What a train wreck that is. And this is Whoopi finally figuring out why would Trump go to war with Iran, you know, besides them attacking us for 47 years, besides them attacking cargo ships in the Strait of Hormuz, besides them being the number one, by far, state sponsor of terror with groups like Hezbollah and Hamas that they've been funding, and the Houthis as well. Maybe it's because they had nuclear ambitions and were getting close, according to their own negotiators, just weeks before we went to war, saying that, oh, yeah, they got enough uranium to build 11 bombs right now. And they thought they had leverage because they thought that Donald Trump actually wasn't going to follow through on what he said he would do if they didn't make a deal. But no, Whoopi thinks there's another more sinister, nefarious kind of motivation here. Cut number 13, and this is your most craptastic soundbite of the week. Go.
It's just nutty as hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's nutty as hell.
Yeah.
And you're right. Every day is something new. And it's, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday because I thought, well, okay, why haven't we been talking about Savannah Guthrie and what's going on there?
Yes.
Why haven't we not been taught? Why have we not been talking about the Epstein files?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's still there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This is meant to get us so worked up that we are unable to see anything else.
Oh, and again, they clap. Because we're not talking about Savannah Guthrie and her missing mom, Nancy Guthrie. We went to war with Iran, so we're not going to talk about Nancy Guthrie. What the actual F? Honestly, this person gets paid seven figures for that, which really drives me insane. Oh, my hair hurts from having listened to that. Not much more to say. Yeah, it's all about the Epstein files and Nancy Guthrie. That's why we're at war and putting our troops in harm's way. Unbelievable. Actually, it's not unbelievable. It's completely believable based on what we've seen from that ridiculous news show over the years. Anyway, Linda Moynihan, who is quite good on CNN, she plays kind of the role of Scott Jennings if Jennings isn't there. And she comes prepared. See, I can appreciate that. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, independent, whatever. You're going to go on national television. Don't be like Whoopi and just make up stuff. The first thing that pops into your head as far as distracting from Nancy Guthrie, as far as going to war. Here is Moynihan calling out the media on their Iran coverage because it's a pretty logical conclusion to come to. It's not because they're basing it in any fact or basing it on any sort of precedent, but it's all because they just hate Trump. So whatever Trump does, if Trump finds, you know, if Trump were to ban pineapple on pizza, then Democrats would come out completely for pineapple on pizza. And the media would tell you that actually, no, it's not disgusting. Pineapple on pizza is the greatest thing ever. Well, here, because we're at war with an adversary of nearly five decades, well, this is why Moynihan believes the media is so anti-USA, quite frankly, in their Iran coverage. Cut number 14, go.
As you said, many administrations are unhappy with headlines. I find it interesting, though, that I've seen among Democratic politicians and many in the media, they seem to almost be rooting for America to fail because they don't like Trump. And if you look at some of these headlines, they're kind of what? U.S. capability showing signs of rot. Iran regime doing well, in control. The U.S. has no strategy.
What outlets are you quoting?
U.S. has no strategy.
The Atlantic.
Of course, Abby Phillips not going to stand there and take that. What outlets are you quoting? The Atlantic, Washington Post, CNN. You know, that's the thing. It's one thing to have an opinion when you're on TV, as somebody who goes on hundreds of times a year on Fox News. It's another thing to have receipts. That's the whole trick. She very easily said the media is against Trump because they hate him. All right. What proof do you have of that? She had the proof. She was reading headline after headline before she was cut off, of course, because there are many, many more where we hear about how, you know, what the U.S. is spending on lobster and steak on a daily basis. I mean, that was probably the most unbelievable claim. Paul Begala, who was relevant like, you know, 40 years ago, said that Pete Hegseth himself is spending millions of dollars on steak and lobster for himself. To which then all these servicemen and women were putting up little videos of them having steak and lobster before they went off to the Iran war. In fact, Matt, for this one, a little curveball for you. Let's go with cut number 11 here, just to bring those receipts. Cut number 11, go.
Brothers Defect has steak and lobster.
How's this steak and lobster?
About right. Damn near decent.
How's it with?
I'm ready for war.
We're going to war.
Yeah, the MREs, which are like many food that's pre-prepared, right, because you got to get it out quickly into a lot of people. Usually not that great from the military people that I've spoken to. But when you get steak and lobster, that shows, okay, you're going off to war. You're fighting for this country. We're going to try to treat you as well as we can. And we got to spend a little bit more for that. Well, what better group of people to spend it for than our men and women putting themselves on the line as far as their lives are concerned? Anyway, the left isn't completely crazy, however, because we have Bill Maher. Again, this is why he lasts on television. This is why he gets good ratings, because he's unpredictable. He very easily can say things where the SEALs and his audience can clap along, but he just says exactly how he feels and doesn't care what the left, or the right for that matter, really thinks of his opinions. All right, you can disagree with him, fine. But at least I know I'm getting an honest take, because it's always been very consistent as far as that's concerned. This is cut number 15. Go.
Trump said that the Iranians have no Navy, no communications, and no Air Force. And they shot back and they said, and you have no affordable housing, no functioning Congress, and no attention span. Game on.
All right. Look.
Don't take that the wrong way. I'm on our side. Okay, I'm for us winning, all right? I'm not on that page of Trump did it, so I'm with the Ayatollah now.
Well, yeah, all right, so it takes a little shot at Trump. He is liberal, of course. And then says, oh, by the way, I'm on our side, all right? I'm not suddenly going to start supporting the Ayatollah or the Iran mullahs or hope that the U.S. is in another Iraqi war situation where suddenly this goes on to the point where, remember, the shellacking that George W. Bush took in 2006, nearly didn't even get reelected in 2004. Then obviously Obama and the Democrats completely take over in 2008. Most of that was because of an Iraq war that wasn't very well thought out. Too many boots on the ground, too many sitting ducks for IEDs and so on. That's not going to be the case here. The way Trump is executing this war, Hegseth has been with pinpoint, in other words, like Karg Island, like taking that out near the Strait of Hormuz, and obviously a big producer of oil for Iran. You do that, you choke off Tehran completely, because that's the whole ballgame as far as their revenue is concerned. We don't even know if the son, Mutaba Khomeini, is even alive, because, well, we keep getting statements from him, but we don't actually see him. So that's a problem, right? So they may not have leadership. As Trump said, no Navy. The Army is basically irrelevant, no Air Force. And the Strait, once that's open completely, then we're going to see some really interesting stuff. Anyway, Matt, I'm going to squeeze in one more, if you don't mind. Let's go to Bill Maher talking about the Ayatollah's, let's see, twig and berries not working. Yeah, I can't really say that other word on the air. This is cut 16 before we go to break. Go.
Yes, it's the late Ayatollah Khomeini's son. He goes by the name Nepo Kablooey. And he's a very holy man, like his father. Holy man. Very holy man. But it's a big tidbit. Four times he has traveled to a clinic in England to treat impotence. Yes, I love the Ayatollahs. They hate the infidel West until doesn't work. And then it's... Get me on the 2 p.m. to Heathrow, okay? Yeah, four trips to this clinic. This guy's got a real problem. I mean, when he gets to paradise, he's going to say to the 72 virgins, can we just talk?
See, that's funny. I guess the word he used was the nickname of Richard Nixon. We'll put it that way, not working. Anyway, this is Joe Concha. This is the Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. Back with so much more in just a moment.
It's the Joe Concha Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. 77 WABC and Bergen Newbridge Medical Center honor the life of legendary broadcaster and our friend, Ernie Anastas.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130 for an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
It's the Joe Concha Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. Now, here's Joe Concha.
Welcome back, everybody. So Zoran Mamdani really has his priorities straight because he is now named a dude dressed as a girl to lead the LBGTQ plus minus equal sign office in New York City. And boy, he was beaming, smiling ear to ear upon making this announcement. Let's go to cut number one, unfortunately. Go.
Y'all know too well, the queer community as well as intersecting communities and adjacent communities are under extreme attack in this country from all angles, it seems, from the highest levels of government to society in general and to even sometimes people that we consider friendly fire, unfortunately. And so now more than ever in this moment, it is so critical, I think, to have trans leadership because...
Yeah, you're a dude. You're a guy. And you're talking about how, your community is under extreme attack. You know, I never heard Mamdani talk about extremists when it came to two terrorists that came from Pennsylvania to New York City last weekend and decided to start throwing bombs at people. You know, so, again, zero priorities here. And the fact that Mamdani had Mahmoud Khalil over for dinner one night after two Islamic extremists came to the city looking to do Boston bombing part two with IEDs. And that was the message that he sent. That was the symbolism. Those were the pictures he wanted out there. Because I think, honestly, I know what I think, honestly, that this is not a person who, A, takes this sort of stuff seriously, and B, may be on the wrong side of things. I think anytime you declare that you're going to arrest Benjamin Netanyahu the minute he comes into New York City, and when you declare that Israel is an apartheid state, and when you said that the entire New York City Police Department was anti-queer and racist, all these comments are all on tape. Even 2 weeks before October 7th, there is Mamdani out with a megaphone screaming out how Israel is committing genocide and is an apartheid state. Genocide. No, that's what Hamas carried out. And didn't hear very much about Mr. Mamdani when he was asked about Hamas. He goes, I really don't have any opinion on Hamas. Oh, you don't have an opinion on Hamas? Oh, I think that's kind of irrelevant considering the very large Jewish community that you're currently the mayor of here in New York City. Anyway, this is Joe Concha. This is the Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. We're back with, you guessed it, so much more in just a moment.
It's the Joe Concha Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. It's the Joe Concha Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. Now, here's Joe Concha.
Hey!
We proclaim our support for the Islamic Republic. Shame, shame, USA!
Shame, shame, USA!
Shame, shame, USA!
Shame, shame, USA!
Iran is the central pillar of the struggle against U.S. imperialism and Zionism today.
Oh, my goodness.
The Islamic Revolution in 1979 served...
Where is that, you may wonder? Tehran? Somewhere in the Middle East? London? Oh, no. That's Times Square, New York City, just yesterday, dancing on 9/11's victims' graves by chanting that crap on our... Get out, then! Get out! You hate us so much, then leave! Go back to paradise, wherever you think that may be. Shame, shame, U.S. Day. We support Hezbollah here. We support Hamas here. Also, great chance there. Again, we got a legal immigration problem. Illegal? Yeah. It's more or less been solved. Legal, though. All these people naturalized or come here on visas. I'm sorry. You're going to start chanting shame, shame, USA, and, you know, your support your devout love for and share your devout love for Hezbollah and Hamas. Get out. Seriously. Out. 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 We don't want you here. And don't talk to me about the First Amendment and free speech. If you hate this country, no more. You've seen all these attacks that we've had recently. Old Dominion at the ROTC. Austin, Texas at a bar. What we saw in Michigan, guy drove his car into a synagogue trying to kill children between the ages of 1 and 5. All had something in common. All yelled Allah Akbar before doing so. So, again, the fact that that sort of sound and scene was happening in Times Square, right in the heart of Manhattan, you know, not far from where 9/11 occurred, is just beyond a whole bowl of wrong. Anyway, let's look back on Charlie Kirk, shall we? Charlie, this is a great debate that I came across yesterday and said, my audience has to hear this. Here he is. Now, Charlie, as you know, would go around to campuses across the country and debate people that disagree with the most, and did so in a very calm, civilized, and prepared fashion, quite frankly, as you're going to see. Here he is. Basically doing a rhetorical TKO on a woman who was trying to defend Islam, and Charlie, well, just was not having it. Cut number three, go.
I know that you're a Christian, and I guess my kind of concern is, like, Islamophobia.
Are you Muslim?
Yes, I am.
What is the best model for a Muslim country in your view?
I guess, like...
Do you enjoy not having to cover yourself in public?
Yeah, I guess.
So that you don't like Islam very much then, because majority of Islamic countries would require you to have full garb in public.
That's not fair to say that.
You literally could not dress like this in the streets of Riyadh as a woman. This is way too provocative, way too much skin. You as a woman, you don't have freedom of speech, you can't run for public office, you can't own property. Islam is against Western values, it's incompatible with Western values, and we in the West actually think you should have the rights that you have right now to speak and to be able to show, you know, the skin you show here, and, you know, be able to have a happy life.
There you go. And that's why I think one day, I said this after Charlie was executed at Utah Valley University September 10th of last year, that he probably could have been president one day. You know, he, boy, talk about, like, presidential debates, primary or general election. How would that go for his opponents? I mean, the guy knows his stuff, obviously had the look, had the sound, and had the principles and the conviction, family and faith first. Yeah. And remember, Charlie was only 31 when he was killed because he came along so early, right? I mean, I was on with Charlie on Fox when he was as young as like 21 years old. And it just felt like almost like LeBron James in a way, like LeBron came right out of high school and went to the pros. You're like, boy, this guy's been here forever. Yeah. It felt like that way with Charlie because he was on the national scene with Turning Point USA, which he started at age 18. Imagine that. Like, people are going off to school. They don't even know what their major is, what they're going to do in life. This guy says, college isn't for me. I'm going to start this movement instead. And millions followed as a result. So, yeah, always good to look back on Charlie's debates at any moment because they're just perfectly executed, quite frankly. Anyway, as we continue with crazy Democrats using hyperbole and turning it on its head, if that's possible, here is one New Hampshire Democrat. He actually compares the struggle of trans rights to what black people went through in the South during desegregation and segregation, for that matter, in the 1950s and 60s and 70s. This is cut number six scope.
There is a completely false dichotomy at the core of every one of these debates. We should absolutely take more action to address individual bad behavior. But giving rights to trans people does not take them away from others. Just as giving rights to black Americans did not take them away from white Americans. So when you look me in the eye and you say, with all due respect, we need to take away your rights because trans people are inherently a threat, that is not with all due respect.
Oh, no, just the, you know, absolutely skyrocketing number of trans shooters that are carrying out mass shootings. You know, and by the way, when this person says that, you know, trans rights doesn't take away anybody else's rights, oh, I'm pretty sure that a guy's junk hanging out in a women's locker room probably takes away the privacy rights of those women, right? I definitely know that if a guy acting like he's a girl races against women in high school or college sports and takes away that first place finish, that gold medal, then maybe endorsements go away with them, right? Because no one wants to give an endorsement to a second or third place finisher. So, yeah, or even scholarships for that matter, going out of high school. You have a guy whose legs like Saquon Barkley running track. Yep, that person will probably win given the testosterone and chromosomes and all those chemical advantages. So, yeah, I am certain that a trans person absolutely takes away the rights of women in this country. Anyway, let's move on, shall we? Because it gets even nuttier. Jasmine Crockett, right, who ran for Senate in Texas. You know, I didn't make like the most bold prediction, but I said she will never, ever be a senator in Texas. She could be a congresswoman of some deep blue district in Dallas, but not win statewide. It would be impossible. Anytime that you compare a guy sitting in a wheelchair because he's paralyzed, that's Governor Greg Abbott, and call him Governor Hot Wheels for a cheap laugh. Yeah, that's pretty much the end of your, forget candidacy, like your right to, like, you know, be considered remotely human. When you're mocking somebody who's paralyzed and people laugh when they heard it, and it's played all over and over again on social media as if she's some sort of, she's the future, Charlemagne the God, right? Phony that is. Oh, that should be your messenger moving forward for the Democratic Party. Yep, her, you know, who wished for her birthday that Elon Musk would be taken out, which we all know what that means, considering the assassination culture that seems to be growing in this country. Permission slip to violence. Anyway, Jasmine, boy, she knows how to really pick him here, because her head of security was shot and killed in Dallas after pulling a gun on officers. What kind of people are you hiring? I mean, this guy was chased into a hospital parking lot, right, for good reason. And then instead of obviously surrendering, doesn't give up the gun, points the gun at police officers. And then obviously they did what they had to do, and they took him down. Anyway, here's this news report. It's just crazy. Cut number eight. Go.
These images of Mike King standing close to Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett shows how trusted he was as part of her security detail while she's been in office and while on the campaign trail during her recent run for a U.S. Senate seat. Multiple law enforcement sources say King was the man shot and killed after a standoff with Dallas police SWAT officers on Wednesday night. Police say he was chased into a hospital parking garage where he barricaded himself inside a vehicle before he was forced out by tear gas and pulled a gun on officers.
Yeah, once the tear gas enters your eyes, I think that's when you probably should give up. And instead, especially when the SWAT team is there, this wasn't like a one-on-one, you know, guns at noon kind of thing. So rest in peace. I mean, don't pull a gun on officers. It's that simple. And again, this guy was the head of security for Jasmine Crockett. Anyway, let's go a little curveball here again, Matt. Sorry about this. This, I think, is our comedy cut of the week, right? I think Bill Burr is not like the nicest guy, certainly anti-Trump, certainly, but he does do good comedy from time to time. And here he is on how white women have hijacked the woke movement. And this is admittedly very funny. Cut number nine, go.
I got to tell you, the way white women somehow hijack the woke movement, Generals around the world should be analyzing this. The woke movement was supposed to be about people of color, and it was about that for about 8 seconds. And then somehow, white women swung their Gucci-booted feet over the fence of oppression and stuck themselves at the front of the line. My anger to her, with my SUV and my heated seats, you have no idea what it's like to be me. Trash and white guys. The nerve. Where's the camera? The nerve of you white women. You guys stood by us toxic white males through centuries of our crimes against humanity. And occasionally, when you wanted to sneak off and hook up with a black dude, if you got caught, you said it wasn't consensual.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what you did. So why don't you shut up, sit down next to me, and take your talking to.
Well, it's not inaccurate. I mean, it's true, right? I mean, I guess the woke movement was more about DEI, and I'm not quite sure what it was about. It wasn't based on anything resembling common sense, but yeah, that absolutely was hijacked by the whine white moms out there. No question about it. Anyway, Chuck Schumer, who is hijacking all of our intelligence, just talking about the SAVE Act, taking this extremely unpopular stand on something that almost no Americans support, and that is voting without an ID. Democrats overwhelmingly support it. Blacks, Latinos, whites, obviously Republicans. Anybody who is sane and sober supports showing an ID when you vote. And yet Schumer is dead set against it because, well, that would be a victory for Trump. And I guess Democrats can't have that, especially in a midterm election year. But here makes a very interesting claim that where are the fact checkers? You know, Internet, do something. Cut number 12. Go.
Yes, but their bill isn't voter ID number one.
It is.
It is about voter registration. Mm-hmm. It makes it, it allows ICE to kick tens of billions of people off the rolls, and they don't tell them until election day, and you show up and you say, you're not registered anymore. You're not registered here. You're not on the rolls.
So ICE has the ability to kick tens of millions of people off of rolls. Huh. What tens of millions of people, Chuck? Just curious, because if ICE is about immigration, illegal immigration enforcement, is he saying that there are tens of millions of illegals that are voting? Because that would only fall under ICE's jurisdiction, right? And we don't want illegals voting, right, Chuck? Or do we? If you're a Democrat, I mean, let's face it, 12 to 15 million people came into this country during the Otto Penn administration because eventually the goal was to give them, as Chuck has said, a path to citizenship, which means that they four can vote and then give their big thank yous to Democrats who let them into the country illegally by cutting the line and all these wonderful benefits like credit cards and hotel rooms and three meals a day. And yeah. So for looking at the goal here, I think Chuck just said, as they say, the quiet part out loud. Anyway, boy, this hour is going by fast. I'm told we have to break. So this is the Joe Concha, Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. We wrap this puppy up in just a moment.
It's the Joe Concha, Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. It's the Joe Concha, Tunnel to Towers Foundation, Sunday morning show. Now, here's Joe Concha.
All right, welcome back, everybody. So this just in, CEOs of major U.S. airlines are now urging Congress to end the DHS shutdown as 50,000 airport security workers are without pay. 75% chance, according to Polymarket. That's one of the places where you can bet on anything, apparently, including when the DHS shutdown will end. 75% chance the DHS shutdown extends into next month, considering that we're not even halfway through this month. That ain't good. I mean, you see these images from all over the country of lines out the door into parking lots, because when you don't pay people, they tend not to show up for work. And Democrats, again, completely and totally on them. 100%. Republicans are voting to fully fund the government, which includes paying DHS workers, which is kind of a big deal when you're at war and all these terror attacks are happening in our homeland. And Democrats are just so hell-bent to win back Congress, they think that this is good for them because it shows they're fighting. They're standing up to Trump. Standing up against what exactly? Well, we think that ICE should be abolished or it should be reimagined. Uh-huh. Right. So you're for illegal immigrants staying here, including those who have committed murder and rape, molested children, rape, sex trafficking? Okay. Again, unbelievable. And even on the Sunday shows today, I saw them just before I came on, but Cory Booker or Adam Schiff, they were held to account, believe it or not, in saying, well, wait, you keep voting against this. Why are you saying that these workers should be paid when you keep voting against them getting paid? And again, all it takes is one big terror attack. And of course, Democrats will blame Republicans and the media will probably echo those sentiments. And I guess they're banking on that. But again, it's like they're rooting against the country. They want it to fail. And that includes people may get killed as a result of these ridiculous political games. Anyway, let's get to some interesting cuts from this week as we promised before, wrap this puppy up. And that will include, this is kind of incredible. Italy won't stop winning at the World Baseball Classic. This team beat the USA, was up 8-0 on us at one point. Then people are like, well, they're probably going to lose to Mexico at least. Nope, crushed them too, 9-1. Italy, I mean, I know a lot of players from Dominican Republic and Cuba, and Japan, obviously. But Italy, not known for baseball, more of a soccer kind of country. Anyway, here's them winning at the World Baseball Classic on Friday night. And I got this only because the call from the Italian announcer, again, this ain't Michael Kay, and that's a good thing. This is cut number 17. Go.
Weissert, un'occhiata in seconda. Caricamento, batte Rosario. Alza una volata.
Cadi dentro. Cadi dentro.
Sono rapito. Sì!
Sì, that means yes.
Italia vola Miami. Italia è in semifinale al World Baseball Classic.
Oh.
Davvero Italia.
I love how the English just comes out for World Baseball Classic. That's good, Matt. Thank you. Oh, I'm just going to listen to the Italian broadcast if I can, kind of moving forward. But yeah, we're all rooting for the USA. But if Italy won this, would you really be all that upset? People think I'm Italian because my name ends in an A and I'm from New Jersey. Like it ends in a vowel. Therefore, I must be Italian. And no, I am not a Paisan. Right? Plenty of Paisan friends, certainly for sure. Love the Sopranos. Don't get me wrong. But no, the country is actually Spanish. It is Basque from the northern region of Spain, right by the French border, believe it or not. So there's a bay named after it and everything, the La Concha Bay. So that's kind of cool. Anyway, let's not talk about my ancestry.com. Let's get to some of the more fun stuff here, which includes, by the way, you're going to love this. Donald Trump, apparently, this is going to be cut number 7, Matt. Donald Trump apparently was never in a fight. He was asked if he was ever in a fight. But once he broke up a fight and somehow Kobe Bryant was involved, go figure. Cut 7. Go.
Have you ever been in a fight? I heard a rumor about you, like, helping Kobe one time at a game. Is that
a
true story?
It was a long
story?
Time ago, right?
Is this a true story?
Well, it wasn't a fight. I was breaking up a fight.
Okay.
Which sometimes is more dangerous than being in a fight, right? But... Now, I like Kobe. Kobe was having a hard time with somebody, and it worked out fine. But yeah, I broke it up. Probably not a smart thing to do. Historically, it's never good to break up fights.
Yeah.
That's kind of true. The guy who ends up breaking up the fight usually gets the cheap shot. Over there, Trump, Kobe Bryant, who... Kobe was a big guy, right? 6'8", 6'9". It's funny, I did a mystery reader thing at my fourth grade son's class where I come in as the mystery reader, and I read part of a book called Who is Michael Jordan? And a lot of the kids agree with me that Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time, and I thought LeBron would get the number two spot. No, Kobe. Kobe is beloved still to this day and obviously taken from us too soon in that horrible crash in California a couple of years ago. Anyway, let's end it here, shall we, which is Kamala Harris. She's back! And you know what? The whole time she had us fooled. She was playing 3D chess against Donald Trump during the 2024 campaign. You were just too stupid to understand that strategy. This is cut number 18. Go.
I wasn't about to be distracted by those planes that he was trying to throw to get me away from my highest priority, which is talking to people about the economy and their well-being in terms of their financial well-being.
You didn't do that.
And that's, so I understood the game that was being played. And I made a decision that I wasn't going to get played.
Ooh.
And
cackle. Cackle alert. There it is.
Just not checkers.
Yeah, three-dimensional jazz, I'm telling you. You know?
You spent $1.7 billion, lost every swing state in the popular vote. Republicans took back the Senate and held the House. And you're talking about 3D chess? And by the way, she was talking about the economy? Really? Whose economy was it in 2024? Who was the vice president at the time and who was the president? Yeah, I was here to talk about the economy and people's struggles and what I was going to do to make it better. You were in office for 4 years. Oh, I mean, again, we didn't dodge a bullet with Kamala Harris not getting elected. We dodged a nuclear Scud missile. That's how that worked out. You still listen to her talk to this day. Anybody who cackles at their own jokes, you do not want in the Oval Office or any office for that matter. Anyway, this has been the Joe Concha, Tunnel and Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. Back next Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern time. In the meantime, I'm on WABC, 9 p.m. Eastern here in New York. Tomorrow night, all the way through Friday, and on stations across the country. Until then, two words for you. Bye-bye.
It's the Joe Concha, Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show.